Who was Alvin McKendry Lynn Sr.? Grandpap was a man of honor. He was a man who very distinguished in his own right. As Missy's already said, he was a hard worker. He was filled with duty. He was an honest man. He would not deceive you. If he didn't like something you were doing, he'd just tell you. And if he wouldn't tell you, if you asked him, he'd tell you. He was just straightforward. He was filled with determination. And as you look at that list that TJ read, he indeed has a legacy. He has had an impact. But that legacy didn't just start with him. I want to take you back just for a few moments, back to a year of 1788. In 1788, a man named Hugh Lynn immigrated from Ireland into Concord, Pennsylvania area. And it has been written that Hugh Lynn found himself far removed from any church, but there was something special about his family altar, and that the flame in his family altar burned so brightly that it began to draw attention. And it began to shed its rays into the neighboring community and valley. And people began to come across those mountain trails on foot and on horseback to a new place of worship, Hugh Lynn's cabin. And they called it Emmanuel, which means God with us. That was 325 years ago. Now, 325 years later, just a short distance south from where Hugh established his cabin, we stand today, or we are gathered today, celebrating his legacy and the life of his, if I have this right, his great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Alvin Lynn Sr. What a legacy. Indeed, we are celebrating something that goes beyond comprehension. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And what Pappy has left us is an inheritance that far outweighs anything monetary. What we have seen in Alvin Lynn's life is a reflection here today of the fact that so many of his family already actively love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Even more so that I have the incredible privilege today of being here with four of my cousins, all of us in ministry. A legacy passed down from generation to generation. A few years ago, Granddad took my wife Elisa and I driving through the hills of Pennsylvania, showing me where he lived, where he grew up, little country school, I mean just a little one-room building where he would go in early in the morning and start the fire in the winter before the teacher or the other kids would ever get there. He shared a lot of stories. He showed me, he stopped at this one stop sign. He said, you know, it used to be a little road here. And he was out wearing a brand new pair of britches one day, riding his bicycle, turned down around that corner, lost his balance, got away from him, it skidded. He took a tumble, but the tear in his new britches wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that hide tanning he got from his mama because he had been wearing new pants to go out and play. He had a lot of memories. And a lot like what Missy was sharing, he shared a lot of memories that were very special. But one of the things that really teared his eyes up as he shared with me some of the most precious memories in his life were his memories of a young man in a Pentecostal service. He talked about how he just loved to see the Spirit of God move among his friends and his family and in his life. He talked about how God had spoken to him and had actually called him into ministry. But because of certain life situations and things, he had never responded to that. And if there's anything that I've ever seen my granddad, I don't think there is anything I've ever seen my granddad regret except that. He told me he regretted not following the call and not going into ministry. And yet, we stand here today and we can look and see God obviously still worked through his life. God obviously still ministered to him. He was a people person. He was out there. He loved to just talk to people. He loved to brighten their day. And even today now, we stand here, and as I've already mentioned, even Missy, Brian, Alvin, and TJ, and myself in ministry. And I'm telling you, Pappy had a part of that. He had an impact there. It's a legacy. So, in honor of our Pap, in honor of Alvin McHenry Lynn Sr., I'm going to share with you today, like he would. He would tell you like it is. He wouldn't hold anything back. So I'm not going to hold anything back either. I want this to be as though he had picked up that call and he was standing here right now and sharing God's word with you today. I know we're experiencing a lot of emotions. But let our mourning not turn into a mourning of people who have no hope. Because friends and family, we have hope. Our hope is in the truth that Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead. And that we will see Dad, we will see Granddad, we will see Pappy, we will see our friend Alvin again. Most of us have already talked, and Missy's already mentioned how we've seen a change in him over the last couple years especially. And just like Missy, one of those long phone calls I got bold with him, and I straightforward asked him too, are you right to meet God? Is your heart right? And he assured me it was. And it was even more evidence again, just 2 weeks ago, after his first fall, his desire was to call out to God. And I think what that shows us is that in his heart, his greatest desire was, I want to make it right with my Lord and Savior. I want to be in heaven where my daughters are, where my first love is. I want to see my brothers and my sisters. I want to see my father, Howard Cleveland. I want to see my father-in-law, Samuel E. Burton. I want to see my Savior. So let's not mourn like there's no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we would want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who do not have any hope. For since we believe that Jesus Christ died and raised again to life, we also believe that when he returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We have a hope. That is, if, like Pappy, our heart's right with God. We have a hope. And maybe this morning, it's a little different type of message than you would expect to hear. But I believe Pappy wants us to hear it. Because I know he's in heaven and I know he wants to see us there. And we think that list and all this family gathering here is big, but it's not going to be anything compared to one day when we're all gathered at the feet of Jesus together as a family. So how do we get that hope? Our victory comes only one way, and that is through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Paul says, I want to reveal to you a wonderful secret. We may not all die, but we will all be transformed. And it will happen in a moment, in the blink, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised forever. And we who are living will all be transformed. For our dying bodies, and I think all of us can feel that at times, our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. That's when the scripture is fulfilled. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sting is in sin, and the law gives power to sin. But he goes on to say, but thank God, he gives us that victory over sin and over death through Jesus Christ. Today, Alvin has that victory over sin. He has that victory over death. He is celebrating an eternal life because he knew his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if he wants you to hear anything today, I know he would love to hear that you love him, but he would much rather hear that you love Jesus. Maybe you're still doubting. Maybe you're saying, I'm not sure, Gary, this whole thing about the resurrection. Well, Paul, he thought, you know, there'd be some people like that. So he dealt with this earlier on in chapter 15 of Corinthians. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ cannot be raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is useless and guilty of our sins. And in that case, all who are believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life to make us feel better, then we should be more pitied than anyone else in the world. But then Paul, who came face to face with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says this, but the truth is, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all of the dead. And I love the way the Message Bible translates that last part there. The Message Bible says, but the truth is that Christ has been raised up, and he is the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. And one of these days, my grandma is going to leave that cemetery. My great-grandma is going to leave that cemetery. And the cemetery that we're going to go just stand at in a few minutes, where Brian and Alvin will share with us, will be the cemetery that Granddad's going to come popping out of that ground and leave that cemetery. And he's going to leave that cemetery because he has that long legacy. And we can have that long legacy. We can have that long legacy that started 325 years ago in that little cabin just north of us. In our great, 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 and who knows how many other great grandfather, Hugh Lynn's cabin. He started a legacy and it passed through the centuries. And now it's time that we pick up that diligence, that hard work ethic, that we continue the way this honest man was, filled with laughter. You watch the video, he's laughing all the time. Filled with joy. We pick up that joy and we pick up that peace and we carry our heads high because we know Jesus Christ and we know that our pappy knew him too. And we know that we have something that's more valuable, more precious than gold or silver. We have the love of our Lord and Savior within our hearts. And greater is the Spirit of God than man that is within us than he that is in this world. 325 years from now, should the Lord tarry, there might be another gathering in this room from your great descendants. And the legacy that they'll be looking at, doesn't matter what kind of car you drive right now, doesn't matter whether you're living in a mansion or in a little rented room or you get your clothes at Nordstrom's or you go to Goodwill and get them off the rack, the legacy that they will be concerned with is your life in Christ. That's your legacy. That is our legacy. We only have one life, and it's going to pass soon, just like Pappy's 92 years, and yet so many of us feel like it just passed too quickly. Our life will pass. It's only what we will do for our Lord and Savior that will truly last. The first step in establishing this legacy, if you're here today and you're part of my family, if you're here today and you're a friend of my family, and you do not know our Lord and Savior, and you do not have a hand on this legacy of Christ, I beg you, I urge you, I beseech you, will you listen to God's Spirit today? Will you listen to His voice? And will you make things right in your life with Christ? Let's pray. Will you bow our heads, please? As we go to pray, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask that you'll just listen to that voice of God right now speak to you. I ask that you will listen and that you will respond, and that you will take this moment very weighty and very seriously, because one day you will stand before the Lord God Almighty, and it'll either be rejoicing like Grandpap, or it'll be in fear, because you know you're not going to end up in heaven. Will you make that choice today? Heavenly Father, I just speak right now over those people who I love. God, I just declare that the love of Jesus Christ will move in their hearts. Lord, the love that we have and that we share together, the love of family, the love that we had for Grandpap, the love that we had for Alvin. Lord, that love that we had for my grandma and Blanche, and the love that we share with Thelma and her family. Lord, the love that binds us all together. Let it just motivate our spirit to listen to your voice right now and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I do want to be a part of this legacy. I surrender my life to you, and I call out on your holy name, just like Pappy did just 2 weeks ago, and say, God, let my heart be right before you. Forgive me. I surrender myself to you. Heavenly Father, I also pray peace and comfort over our family. I minister to them the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue throughout the events of this day, let us just be arm in arm and hand in hand with the joy of the Lord binding us together in a way that it has never done before. Amen. Amen. We are going to dismiss, and as we do, for those of us who are going on to the graveside, my cousins Alvin and Brian will be sharing there, and we will have military honors for Granddad. And I'll tell you right now, he comes from an era of a great hero. World War II, you know that he was on the boat headed, and they heard he was coming, so they canceled the war. Great hero. After the internment, I believe there is a time that the family will be getting together and sharing in a meal as well. So if you'll just remain seated for a moment, funeral home director is coming, and he'll give us more instructions.